So I'm going to share a few thoughts now. First of all, there's an amazing passage of scripture in Matthew, and it's the Great Commission. And Jesus gives us this awesome mandate, this awesome instructions, a responsibility to go preach the gospel, make believers, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that, in a nutshell, is what we're doing. We're following the instruction of Jesus. We're not only following it because he thought it was a good idea. He thought it was such a good idea that he did it himself. And as followers of Jesus, we're privileged to journey with people that are being baptized in water tonight. And it's just something so significant about this time when we obey Jesus in this way. As Christians, it's dangerous to make something optional that God has made a command. It's dangerous to go on a discovery with God and start making things optional that he intended for us to do. He commanded us to do them. And for that reason, tonight, one of the things that Jesus said was to be baptized. And we're not doing it just because there's heaps of reasons why, but ultimately we're doing it to be in obedience with what Jesus said. Tonight, we're not conducting a religious activity here. There's nothing special about this water. I saw where it came from. It can be a religious exercise, but here tonight, we're not conducting a religious exercise. We're doing something in obedience to what Christ has told us to do. And we're doing it and we're celebrating not only what God has told us to do, but what he modeled in his very own life here on the planet. It's a public acknowledgement of our faith in Christ. The awesome thing about it, and I would love when these renos are done, maybe we can have a pool right out the front near the main road. But what we're doing here tonight is we're putting on public display this water baptism. We're not doing it out the back. We're not doing it down in the dam out the back. We're doing it in public display, right under the spotlight, because it's a declaration. It's an acknowledgement that we are followers of Jesus. And I think that's awesome. You know, when we come to Christ, when we make that decision in our life to follow Jesus, when we come to that moment that most of us here have come to where the Holy Spirit, where God is impacting our life, and all of a sudden we say yes to him. That moment of salvation, that we believe in Jesus. Who knows, that can be done in our bedrooms by ourselves. Who knows, that can be a very private thing and a very significant, of course it's a significant thing. But baptism is something that is in the open. Baptism was never meant to be a private ordeal. It was never meant to be something we did after we packed away the chairs and the tables, but it was meant to be in the public setting. And that's the very reason why we celebrate this whole service around this command of Jesus in water baptism. I think it's awesome. I'm so excited to be part of people's journey in discovering Christ and following him in this way. I was saying to Jacob, I would love to jump in the tub again. Because when I got baptized, I knew what I was doing. But it's just funny how as you grow and you develop in your relationship with God, sometimes you realize, wow, that's what I was really doing. Wow, this is really significant. And it's awesome. It's awesome. There's that scripture that says that we are a light on a hill. We're not to be hidden. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, all weaved through the whole fabric of the gospel, is about public displays of people saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus called his disciples in the public sense, in the public environment. There was nothing quiet, there was nothing insignificant about following Jesus, about the gospel. And the same is with water baptism. You know, the sign of real faith in Christ is followed by an outward expression of an inward change. Tonight you're going to witness an outward expression, an action of people's lives who have inwardly changed. And this is an awesome opportunity that we have to witness and be part of that with what God is doing in their lives. Jesus has stood, he is standing for us. And this is an opportunity in public for us to stand for him. It's interesting that when we think about this very thing of water baptism, it's vulnerable. Myself and Jacob were sharing last night at the Woodford pub of all places and sharing about Jesus' command to be baptized and just going through scriptures at the pub, and it was awesome, but it's a vulnerable experience. It's uncomfortable being wet. But what a privilege it is to, as we think and as we've experienced the Creator who became a man, who died on a cross, who was strung out for your and my sin on the public way to take away our penalty, what an awesome privilege it is to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism. I think it's just an awesome way. And for that very reason, I'm glad that it isn't something we do in the dark in the corner. It's awesome that it's a public thing. And if it ever becomes something that we push in the corner and we do it when the doors are closed, and it's not baptism. We shouldn't be baptizing people who can't publicly stand and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And I want to declare to you guys, I want to declare to whoever walks in those doors right now, that I'm a follower of Jesus. It's this being, it's this integrating into Christ's death, being buried and coming up in new life. And I want to read a passage of scripture just before we ask all the guys who are being baptized to come forward. I want to read a passage out of Romans. Paul spells out this thing probably better than anybody else in Romans chapter 6. And just let me read a few verses before we move on. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we are co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to express an entirely new life. For if we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and a new life that it imparts. How awesome is that? Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning, and if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin's power once for all, but he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus. What awesome words. What awesome words that we're now dead to sin, but alive to Christ. And Jared, why don't you come up now? We've got the awesome privilege to not only get these guys wet, but just journey with them in this commandment of God, to in this response to baptism. So why don't everyone who's being baptized, why don't you come out? If we could just turn that front bank of lights on, that would be awesome. Actually, I better get my shoes off.